All right, hello and welcome to another episode of Musician Stories, a place where you can learn more about your favorite musicians. I am your host, Chris Mitchell, and I'm the lead guitar player for Four Times Ladder. Today we have with us a songwriter and singer, Riley Burks.
Hello.
What's up?
Oh, nothing. Just chilling on Zoom, you know.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm glad you were able to meet and you could do this. You're telling me you had kind of a crazy day leading up to it. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. I slept at home last night because I had a late band rehearsal. We always kind of no one can get together like ever because we all have completely different lives. So it always ends up being a Sunday night. Yep. So I drove back up to Kent this morning from Youngstown, went to class. Had lunch, went to my other class.
Kent from Youngstown, coached. How long of a drive is that?
It's like 40 minutes if you're going fast, like 45 if you're taking your time. So it's not terrible. And it's like a straight shot down 76. So it's no big deal. And I've been doing it forever. So yeah. I like it. It's nice.
Well, that's good. Well, hey, I'm really excited to talk with you a little bit more. Tell people how we kind of met, how we got in contact.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So Lance Batten. Head Trips is a mutual friend of ours.
Oh yeah.
He does this amazing food drive for Kent Social Services down at the gazebo on Franklin Avenue. And he had invited both of us to come out and perform some songs acoustic. And Chris was like, hey, I have this podcast. Do you want to be on it? And I was like, yeah, sure. So that's how we met.
Yeah, yeah. I saw you perform and the way you carried yourself, I was like, yeah, we got to talk more. We got to keep in touch.
Aw.
Really impressive.
Yay.
Seriously.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. And Lance came on the podcast as well. So his episode will come out, you know, whenever.
Oh, my God.
Really enjoyed talking with him, too. It was just a pleasure and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I really want to talk about the new stuff that just came out with you. But before that, let's take it all the way back, all the way back to the very beginning. What is kind of like your upbringing in music? Like what got you started? What were some of your inspirations?
Oh, man. Okay. So when I was like 3-4 years old, my mom saw in the newspaper that someone in our neighborhood was selling a piano for $100. Just like, you know, little tiny one. I forget what kind it is. I don't really pay attention to that kind of stuff. But she bought it thinking like, oh, I don't know if Riley will play it, but like then we'll just have a piano in our house. But I did. I started taking lessons when I was like 4 years old. I wasn't super into piano though. I never really wanted to do my homework. until
4 years old though. That's
I mean, when I was really little, like I was into it, but then when I got older, I just got really busy and I didn't love it. But then when I was like 10, like fourth grade, I joined the drama club at school because my mom also made me do that. Which I had no idea what it was. I didn't know what it was. But we did a musical, we did Godspell, and I got a solo in it. And it was like the first time I had ever like sung like with people watching me.
Nice.
And I remember my mom was like, where did that come from? So then that is really what set me in love with performing and with music. Like piano never really did it for me. Like I love piano and I'm grateful for the background that I have in piano.
Sure.
But when I started singing, I really was like, this is what I want to do forever. That's how it started. I remember when I was like, young, like 8-9 years old, like singing Lady Gaga in the car, like Bad Romance would be on. And that's how I remember like, I learned how to harmonize from listening to like the backup vocals of like Lady Gaga. And I'm sure like, you know, having piano like helped with that for sure. But I just have memories of like rolling my window down and like pretending to sing to the people like I passed in the cars I passed on the street, which is so nerdy, but it's true. I also, you said like influences, right?
Yeah, sure.
My dad listened to a lot of 80s. I remember he had like an 80s compilation CD. It was like, I remember Centerfold by the Jay Giles Band was on there, and like Come On Eileen.
Yes,
And
yes.
I would listen. I didn't know what the songs were called though. I just knew they were like track 8 and track 9, and I'd be like, Dad, put on track 8.
I love that.
So lots of like 80s. I had an obsession with Gwen Stefani from No Doubt, and of course from her solo career also. So my grandma would always let me like use her computer to look up like No Doubt music videos. I was probably too young to be watching them, but it's okay. I loved No Doubt. That was my first concert. I was 7 years old and I saw No Doubt.
Oh my gosh, where at?
I think it was at Blossom.
Okay.
I was too young to pay attention to that, but I remember it was like a
Yeah.
pavilion and it was outside, so I'm pretty sure it was Blossom.
Sounds like Blossom.
Oh my God, it was like the best time of my life though. And apparently Paramore opened for them.
No way.
But I didn't know who Paramore was at the time, so like I didn't
Right.
care. I just cared about Gwen Stefani. But yeah, I will brag to people and be like, "Oh yeah, your first concert was Justin Bieber, mine was No Doubt." But
I
my
love
second
that.
concert was Justin Bieber, so like I don't know what
Okay,
I'm
all right,
getting
all
at
right.
there. I don't even know.
Yeah. No, that's
I
awesome.
am
That's awesome.
going on and on. Oh my goodness.
No, you're good. So you mentioned your dad and stuff. I was, kind of looking into, all your socials and kind of getting to know some stuff. That video you have with you and your dad singing that new song is just wholesome. It is so great.
I told him, I was like, Dad, you need to be in a TikTok with me for the cute factor so that people
Yes.
will follow me. No, not actually. Like, my dad, I love my dad. He's like one of my biggest supporters in my life, and he knows every word to the song, and it's great. I love it. He's
Oh,
awesome.
it's so cool. Yeah, I want to talk about the song. I want to get some more it like some more elementary stuff. That's not the word I'm looking for. Some more introductory stuff first, and then I want to get into it because I do. I love this song.
Oh, thank you so much.
But yeah, so you said you had a little piano. Do you still have that little piano?
I do actually. Oh my gosh, this is so funny. My sister and I shared a room like forever until like a couple years ago. Right around when I moved out for college, my sister was like, I want my own room, and I was
Yeah.
like, okay, fine. So the piano room, which was like our, spare, like small room, like with a little closet in there for like extra clothes and extra things. That was the piano room, and that was the room of the house that I ended up moving into because my sister fought for the big room. She's like, "You're going to college and I'm not." I'm like, "Okay, whatever, fine." That was a whole argument. But my mom was like, "Okay, well, your room is too small to keep the piano. You should like you have that keyboard because like I have a keyboard for when I like do other gigs and stuff. It's nice. It's a Yamaha. It's cool. But it
Nice,
doesn't,
nice.
it's not a real piano. It's a keyboard. It's not, it like has weighted keys, but there's something different about like a genuine wooden,
Yeah.
real thing." So I
Yeah.
was like, no, I'm not getting rid of the piano. So I got I looked like everywhere on the internet for like a loft bed. And now my bed at home, like it's literally, it just stands up and it's like up high in the air with a little ladder, and my piano's underneath. And
Oh, I love that.
I've written like all my songs I've written on piano have been written on that piano. Like there's just something different about it. Not all of
Yeah.
them, but like my early stuff, like from when I first started writing, like that was my space. I have like cute little lights under there too. It gets me in the zone, you
Oh, I
know?
love it.
Yeah. So I'm
You'll
really
definitely
glad
have
I
to
didn't
send
get
me
rid
a
of it.
picture of that and I'll put it on
Oh
my website.
yeah.
'Cause that's
Oh, I
cool. I
so
dig that.
will.
Yeah. And no, you're preaching to the choir about having like a bunk bed kind of set up. I
Oh yeah.
when I moved from I just graduated last year from Akron.
Ooh.
And when I moved back or I'm sorry, when I moved there, I had a bunk bed. So I took the top bunk, right? And I left and I was like, oh man, I'm never getting rid of any of my toys. This is all my stuff. I'm never getting rid of it, right? And when I came back, I just had all this stuff that I accumulated for the last 4 years. Well, now I also had a lot of guitars and a lot of music stuff. So I have my bunk beds together again. and there's just about a lot of guitars on top, and I pray that hopefully one day that it won't drop on me.
Oh boy. Yeah, that's not, that would not be good if that happened.
But going vertical, that's the way. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Gives you more space.
Just build up. Yeah.
Definitely.
The way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you were saying that in fourth grade you kind of started really singing in front of people.
Yeah.
And so at what point did you kind of, because you kind of play a variety of instruments. I've seen you play the guitar. I saw online you played the bass a little bit. Obviously alluded to keyboards. So what was the next step after piano? What was the next instrument?
Oh, okay. So singing, like doing theater and singing in theater, that was right around like, okay, you remember like Grace VanderWaal from America's Got Talent?
I do.
And how she played the ukulele.
Yes.
I was like, I play the ukulele. No, someone already, you know, I was like,
yeah.
I was like, dang it, we can't both play the ukulele. Like when I was younger, I was like, I want to get famous singing. I'm really glad I didn't though, because it would have been embarrassing looking back on it, because I like had an ego and it was bad. But I remember I started playing ukulele like right around when Grace VanderWaal was playing ukulele. Okay. And that also wanted me that, blah, I can't talk. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
It's all good.
Yeah. I saw Grace VanderWaal playing ukulele and I was like, okay, I guess like that is the cool thing to do. So, I did some ukulele. Oh, actually, oh my gosh, I'm losing my timeline in my head. I played a little bit of guitar before ukulele. I took like 4 guitar lessons. And basically all I learned was like how to strum, like in a way that you strum that, you know, this
yeah,
is gonna
you.
Be so cut up. Yeah.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, I learned like how
it.
To
I'm not
strum. Yeah. I learned like how to strum proficiently, I guess is what you would say. And like, you know, G, C, E minor, A minor, D.
Your cowboy chords.
Yeah, the cowboy chords, which is still all that I can play. I really want to like actually get better at guitar. I could do a couple bar chords, but my brain's a piano brain. I like seeing all the notes out in front of me, and guitar just like scares me like that. But basically, you know, having the couple guitar lessons I had, ukulele was like so easy to pick up from that. I can bar chord on ukulele. That is
okay.
Is all good.
All right.
Yeah. All right. And then bass, I picked up because my sister and her best friend wanted to start a band. And it was just at the time, it like wasn't that big of a deal. They were just like, hey, we're working on this song, we're jamming, and we need someone to play bass on it. Will you like learn how to play bass? Because my sister had asked for a bass for Christmas. So my mom got her a bass, and we had a drum kit also. And my sister was the drummer. She was really good too. She was self-taught. But she could, I don't know what I'm saying. She was really good. For like 14, teaching herself on YouTube, I thought she was pretty good. And then she was like, Riley, you need to learn how to play the bass. I was like, okay, I'm not doing anything right now. So we covered Where's My Mind by the Pixies, because it's like
awesome.
The easiest song you could play on bass ever. It's literally the same like 3 notes over and over again. But it sounds like a cool song because you could like do harmonies on.
Yeah,
and like
it got
the
you
ooze.
Started.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh my gosh, I have like so many detailed stories. This is so crazy. because,
send it. I love it. I love
oh
it.
Oh my gosh. We took a video of us doing it. And Emily, she's my friend who we used to be in this band together. She sent it to her brother who was in a band, and he sent it to his friend who was in a band, and they were playing a show at West Side Bowl in like 4 days, and one of their openers had dropped out and they needed another person to put on the bill, and they were like, hey, can you guys do it? And I was like,
oh
no. And my sister and Emily were like, yeah, let's do it. I was like, I know one song on the bass, and my technique was so bad, but I spent 4 days, this was like my Easter break, my junior year of high school, we did like 5 or 6 songs in our set, and it was like the easiest stuff ever. It was like, Where's My Mind, Traveling Wilburys, Handle Me With Care.
Yes.
Oh my
The
gosh.
Traveling Wilburys seem to be a
Yeah.
recurring theme.
Oh, yeah, I heard that in the first episode. I was
Yeah.
like, that song haunts me now because we literally did it at every one of our shows, and the band only lasted like a few months because then like people had to go to college and stuff. But we did that song at every show, and I'm like so tired of it now. But yeah, we did like super easy songs. We did like Island in the Sun by Weezer, and I can't even remember what else we did, but I was so bad. But now, like, I play it when I can. I'm not great. I just read tab, and I don't know like any technique on any stringed instruments, but don't tell anyone. Just kidding.
I
You can
won't. I
publish that. I
won't.
don't
It's a
care.
secret. It's a secret.
You can publish that. I don't care.
Nobody that's listening is gonna say anything. It's
Yeah,
okay.
it'll
They're
hold
fine.
me to it. It'll make me want to get better. So
That's
it's
fair.
okay.
So,
Yeah.
so would you say then that you kind of started playing live in front of people? I mean, obviously you did the theater and that aspect of it, but playing as a band. So you're telling me you started as a bass player?
I
Wow.
guess so. Playing live, yeah. I did play keys on a couple songs, but I ultimately at the end of the day, I felt more comfortable on bass.
Sure.
The band was called Summer Project. We really lived up to the name because we only did it for that summer. We literally like it lasted from like May to August, and then Emily and Tommy both went to college, and my sister and I were at home. And then there was a whole fiasco of me trying to get her to join my band. She pushed back at me for so long. I did get her to do a couple gigs, and then she had to kick herself out because she didn't want to do it anymore. And it made me very sad, but it's okay. Molly,
That's
I love
band
you
life,
if you're
right?
listening. Yeah,
I
it's
mean,
life. It
people
happens.
come and
Yeah.
go, and things come in the way.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, so your voice. We talked about it a little bit before when I first met you, but how did you kind of how were you taught is what I was trying to ask here.
You're good. I sang, but it was untrained, and it was like okay, but it wasn't like healthy. I started taking voice lessons when I was like 16. It was my sophomore year of high school from Leanne Binder. She is a local Youngstown musician, and she has gone on to do very big things. She's in and out of Nashville all the time, and she's an amazing songwriter and singer and vocal. Oh my gosh, she's a powerhouse. And she's got some great material, so check her out. Her name is Leanne Binder. I would not be me without her. She literally has saved me from so much damage.
Yeah.
And also taught me so much about writing. That's like a separate thing, but she really got me started in songwriting. But yeah, I took lessons from Leanne all through high school.
And how did
And
you get
then
in contact
now,
with her?
just through mutual friends, she coached a lot of people I did theater with around the
Okay.
area. So one time I just asked this girl, I was like, "Hey, what's your voice teacher's name again? Can I have her number?" And the rest is history. And we're like besties now. I really look up to her as a mentor. And as a friend, she's like one of the most caring people I know. She's very protective of me. And yeah, she's just great. I've learned a lot from her.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, and she's awesome. And she also coached me my first year of college because I lived at home because it was the pandemic. I graduated in 2020, so I was like right in the center of it. It was not a great time. But I wanted to do musical theater in college, and that ended up like not being the way that it went. I was like really insecure about like my abilities. I didn't think that I was good enough, and the both times I auditioned for it was like I did not pass, and it like really had a weight on my self-esteem. But she was someone who Leanne definitely helped me like through that, and she suggested to me, well, like things happen for a reason. You did it twice, and like it's just not for you. That's just what the universe is showing us. But what if you went and you minored in voice? And I was like, oh yeah. So she helped me like I really didn't do any classical back then, but she whipped out her 24 Italian songs and arias. That's like a really popular standard, like for beginners in classical singing. And I learned a song from it. I had to do like two, like a foreign language and a not foreign language piece. And I'm now a voice minor at Kent State. I've gone through three voice teachers here, just because like that's the way that scheduling works. But I have worked with Hannah Flower, Kishna Fowler, Flower Fowler, it's kind of funny. And Marla Berg is my current teacher. And Leanne and Marla and Kishna and Hannah, like without them, I would probably die because I love singing like more than anything and learning like all of like the cool technical stuff about it. Like I'm a geek about that kind of stuff. Like I'll sit in a practice room forever and just sing forever. And yeah. I guess that's my background in singing. Oh
No, that's
my gosh.
awesome. Yeah, no,
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I geek out about all this stuff all day long. That's so sweet, you know, that you definitely think very highly of all those people, and for sure I will link as much as, you know, as possible, you know, on the website and stuff, so go check it out. But that's so sweet. So I'm curious, so you've played live in front of people a lot, or maybe, yeah, a lot, since, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. Tell me about a crazy story where you performed live, whether that's either theater or, you know, you're gigging, you're singing. Tell me a
Oh
story.
man. Okay. So this is gonna make me sound like a crazy person because I am, and I have learned my lesson since this. So as I was saying about my sister playing the drums and then her not wanting to do it anymore, my friend Lizzie Jadu, she's wonderful. She is a guitar legend and a bass legend. I love her so much. We knew each other when we were like little kids, and we like weren't really keeping up with each other. But one time she came up on my For You page on TikTok playing guitar, and I was like, "You're gonna be in my band. I have this show at the Wick Yards in Youngstown. If you've never been there, you need to go. It's sweet. It's like, have you ever heard of it?"
No, what did you say it was called?
It's called the Wick Yards.
Okay.
It's in
Oh,
Youngstown.
I saw that on your YouTube channel when I was looking at it the other day. Yeah, I saw you mentioning that.
Oh my gosh, the guy who owns it, his name is Eric Engartner. It used to be a funeral home and he like converted it into a DIY music venue. It's really cool. Like the building has a lot of history. He actually made it into a haunted house for Halloween, and like there's all these bands that are going on all the weekends of October, and he's like having like you walk through the haunted house and then at the end you see the band, and I'm like, oh, it's so cool.
Wow,
I've
that's
done
really neat.
yeah I've done a few shows there, and Eric is just like the sweetest guy. But that was a tangent. But you should definitely check it out. It's really cool. I had booked a show there. I was supposed to play acoustic, but it worked out with me having a band. So it was my sister playing the drums and Lizzie playing the bass for me. And I was like, I really like the idea of doing an all-girl band because I feel like there's not a whole there's I've not seen an all-girl band from around this area, and I wanted to make that happen like really bad because I don't know. It's very weird when you go to shows and you're like the only girl there, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So I don't know. I wanted to do a thing. So my sister, we got in like a big fight. I love her so much, and I feel bad. I was trying to like pigeonhole her into being my drummer now that I look back on it, but I was like, you already know the songs. Why can't you just do one show? And she's like, no. So whatever. It was already booked. This was like a month before. I was ranting to my friend Lauren about it, Lauren Ladd, and I was like, Lauren, I don't know what to do because my sister was playing the drums for me and now I don't have her, and I wanted to do an all-girl band. And she was like, I'll learn how to play the drums. And I was like, you look like a drummer, let's do it. So this poor girl, I love her so much. She came over my house and we taught, like my sister and I like taught her a couple of my songs, and she was like getting it. I was like, damn, like for a beginner, she's like pretty freaking good. So I was like, okay, I trust you, I trust you. We had a couple more rehearsals and it was like not coming together how I had wanted it to. And I was like, okay, this is okay. This is fine. I will make We'll make this work. I talked to my one friend and I was like, hey, doesn't your boyfriend like play the drums? And she's like, yeah, he plays everything. So I was like, okay, let's get him on board. We did this show with like drums switching like every three songs.
Oh my.
And it was like, I knew that it looked like tacky. And looking back on it, I'm like, oh my gosh. But it was also like one of the funnest shows ever. And I also got my cousin on board with it too. And he like played lead guitar on it. So at first, it started of like as a band of three people. And then it ended up being like four and a half, like with the way that it
Yeah.
went. But people had like nothing but nice things to say. Like they seemed very cool. It was like very last minute thrown together. And I'm really glad that it ended up the way that it did, because now, like, so Riley Burke is my original project. But you know, I wanted to also do a cover band because I enjoy a lot of different kinds of music. And you know, it's extra money on the side of doing original stuff. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. So now I have a cover band. It's called Here Comes Tuesday. It's me, Lauren, and Lizzie, and our three guys, Quentin, Richie, and John. And Quentin and Richie were in my band that one night. And it ended up like shaking out really nicely. We do like a bunch of different covers of a bunch of different things because we all sing. So it's kind of cool. We give people whiplash because we do like Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne, and then we're doing like a song from the 70s, and then we do like Tom Petty,
Oh,
and then we do
cool.
like Everybody Talks by the Neon Trees. Like so we're really eclectic and I like that. But I guess my cra oh my
Love
gosh,
that.
you're gonna kill me because I'm gonna be like talking forever. But
No,
yeah,
you're good.
craziest.
I promise. You're totally fine. I'm enjoying listening.
Yeah, craziest gig thing was definitely like having a hodgepodge band of four and a half people at Wick Yards. But I love them all dearly, and I will like send you all of the things for people to follow them because I love my band.
Yes,
And
definitely.
since Lauren like started playing the drums back, this was like back in April, she's gotten like so good. It's actually insane. I was like, I cannot even believe that you're doing this. She's really become a powerhouse, and I think she's gonna be like really, really, really amazing if she keeps working at it. So
That's
that's my note to
awesome.
her. Yeah.
Okay, so we just learned that you have a cover band.
Yes.
That's awesome. And I'm gonna
Yeah.
link that everywhere. Everybody that's listening, stop what you're doing, follow it, follow it, follow it.
Stop.
But I'm
Yes.
curious, tell me about the origins of the Riley Berg project.
Oh man. All right. So, my senior year of high school, I had just gotten out of like my first big breakup. It was a whole thing, and then a month later, pandemic. So times were not great mentally for me. I was like very sad, kind of like going through a funk. Songwriting was always something that I had wanted to do. I'd never got like gotten to take a shot at it because I was like a really, really busy kid. I did dance, I did theater, I did speech and debate. I was like really involved with stuff at my school. And then all of a sudden, there was no school and I had no extracurricular activities. And I was like, what do I do with myself now? So I got my ukulele and I wrote this song. And I was like, the whole time I was like, I don't know, like this isn't that great. And then I FaceTimed with Leanne, my voice teacher, and she really helped me smooth out parts of the song that were like too wordy or just didn't make sense. And I became addicted to songwriting from then on.
Which song was it?
I don't think it's ever gonna see the light of
Okay, all right, all
day,
right, all right, fair
but
enough.
that's okay. It was called You're Not Mine Anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, breakup song, dramatic,
I've been there. I
depressing,
get it. I get it.
but Like literally 90% of my songs I wrote in my like first, like I don't know, year of writing were breakup songs. So I got plenty of those. But then like as time went on, I kind of, as I found myself like getting over my ex, I felt that I could still like use the memory of that sadness to write more breakup songs. So like a lot of my songs now are still breakup songs that are just fake. I call them fake because they're not like based on like true emotion anymore, I guess. Yeah, and then MTV, the song that just came out, that was like one of, it's probably like the eighth-ish song that I wrote. I have like a list, a running list in my notes app on my phone of like all my completed original songs. MTV was one of the earlier ones. So I don't know if
Is that one a real one or a fake one?
that's a real one. That's a real one,
Okay, all right.
inspired by some like fictional things. Like that's a co-write. I co-wrote that with Emily Dunko, who was in
Okay.
that old cover band back in the day, Summer Project.
Gotcha.
Her and my sister and I, we all sat down, and that was my first time I ever co-wrote a song, and that was like one of the only songs that I co-wrote on. That was my first collaborative thing. And it was a breakup song. So and of course it didn't get released until 2.5 years after writing it. So I really hope that people don't think I'm crazy. I promise I'm not. It's just a catchy song. I just had to release it. I'm sorry.
No, trust me. Trust me. Listen, our whole first album, our lead singer Steve, we got a whole album out of breakups and relationships and stuff. So it's a common thing, trust me. And you're good. And but oh my gosh, let's talk about it. What an outstanding song.
Thank you.
What,
Oh
you have
my
already
gosh.
over 1,000 listens on Spotify?
Oh, it hit like 3,000 the other
No
day,
way.
and I was like, stop
That's
right
nuts.
now. I don't know how, but like Spotify for artists, like it'll show you like the playlist that it's ending up on. And I guess Spotify added it to like the Release Radar playlist for people.
Oh, cool.
So a lot of the listens are like coming through like the algorithm. And I'm looking at all like these different like countries, and like, some of them are only like one play, but I'm like, oh my gosh, people like in Australia are listening to me. This is
I
crazy.
love
You know,
that.
like it's,
Yeah.
I feel like I'm like geeking out so much about it, but I think it's very odd that my top city is London, England. I was
Oh,
like,
sounds like he got a tour over there.
who is that? Maybe. I hope so. Eventually. Not now, that's for sure. But I was like, okay, so this isn't just my family like looping this. Like some of it was, but I was like, okay, I don't know anybody in London, England, so
I
this is
have
kind of
definitely
cool.
caught myself, my mom, my girlfriend. We have all just been like humming it, you know.
Oh,
And
really?
we oh, absolutely. It's
Aw.
unbelievably catchy. The day it came out, because you had a lot of promotional stuff leading up to it. So I was pumped. I was ready for it. And the day it came out, I just had it on repeat on my headphones while I was cutting the
Oh
grass.
man.
And I listened to it over and over and over. The production
Oh
on
my
that is
gosh.
outstanding.
Oh
So tell
yeah.
me about that part of it in the studio and stuff. So who did you do it with? And
Yeah.
are you doing all the parts on the track? Or are you just singing?
I am just singing.
Okay.
I did it at Court Street Recording in Canfield.
Okay.
Michael Estock mixed it. He's amazing. He was so awesome to work with. He made me feel like super at home. And then Dan Millis mastered it. I never like talked to him in real life, just through email. But he's like a three-time Grammy nominee or something like that. And I'm
Wow.
like, oh my God, this is insane. But yeah, I did it at Court Street. Michael Estock tracked everything and mixed it. And it was a lot of like input from me being like, this is kind of like my vision. Because I had played that song a lot with my band live. So
Yeah.
I always had like this idea of it in my head. And then going into it though, I was like, I don't want to like play him exactly what I want. I kind of want him to like put his spin on things.
That's fair, yeah.
And oh my gosh, there's so many little touches in there that he's added that I'm like, oh my God, I love that. Like the minimalist little things, like you could tell that that man like puts so much thought into what he does, and I absolutely love the way that it came out.
Yeah. It's extremely pro. Like it comes across as extremely professional and it is really, really good. Absolutely.
Oh man, I really appreciate that. I'm just
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to Michael for and Dan for having it turn out the way that it did. And one of my favorite parts of the song, there's this part, the lyrics are, remember down in the basement dancing without music on, check Yes Juliet, the 1975. So like those were like our songs in like 1975, like we love that band. One of my favorite songs from them that me and my ex, I don't know if I want you to put this in either actually.
That's fair.
Do you know It's Not Living If It's Not With You? It's not
I'm not familiar.
Oh, I love the 1975. They're great, but they have this song, it's called It's Not Living If It's Not With You. And the part in my song, the screaming part, you know what I'm talking about? It's like in the second verse, and it cuts out and there's like
Yeah.
that's me and my bandmates screaming, I'm still living and I'm not with you, like as a little
I
hint at
love
that
that.
song. But like we don't know if it's like 100% like not copyright, so we're like the 1975 better not track me down.
Well, it's your audio. I
It's
mean,
my
so
audio
no,
and
you'd be fine.
We there's only like four notes that are sung or something like that, and like the law is like seven or something. I don't know.
You'd be
It's
fine.
my little hint at it, and the lyrics are changed. But yeah,
Well, I
that's
love
my
it.
little favorite
It's
part.
an outstanding song
Thank
and
you.
again, what a production. You know, definitely
Oh,
something to be proud
well,
of.
I love it. I'm very happy with it.
I'm glad, I'm
Yeah.
glad. Well,
Thank you.
we're heading to the end of it.
Yes.
I got a couple more questions for you. Let's see. Songwriting process kind of with that. Oh, you never really fully answered. So the Riley Burke Project.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm
Like how
sorry.
that, no, it's all good. I get it. It's tangents. It happens. But yeah, so tell me about some of your band members and kind of how you how that all became a thing.
Yeah. Okay. So my sister, she didn't want to do it anymore. It's totally fine. Our current lineup. I play acoustic guitar. John James Martin, I just throw his middle name in because I think it sounds fancy. He plays keys. He is a master. Like he plays by ear, and I don't know how he does it. They're all of my bandmates, they're like my absolute best friends. Yeah, they're all like literally the best ever. So John plays keys. Quentin Melnick plays the drums. He is awesome as well. He has his own project going on as well. And sometimes we gig under his name. You should definitely check him out. He's very creative and very eclectic, and he adds a lot to my songs, like that I feel like he kind of pulls me out of my comfort zone. And I'll like have this idea. He'll be like, no, let's try it this way. And I'm like, no, try it my way. And he's like, no, it's a good idea. And then we'll do it his way and I'll love it.
Yeah.
So he's definitely added a lot. My third cousin, Richie Hedrick, he plays our lead guitar. I did not know Richie until he joined my band. And I was like, I think we're cousins,
No way.
basically. Not like kind of, sort of. Quentin and Richie were best friends in high school, and then Quentin joined first. And then I was like, I think you're friends with my third cousin, Richie. And
Wow.
he's like, oh yeah, let's get him in the band too. That's kind of how that happened. Which
That's great.
yeah, Richie's great. He sings all of our Tom Petty songs in the cover band because he sounds exactly like him, and he's got such a great voice. My goodness. Then Lizzie Jadeau plays bass for us. She is one of like the most beautiful voices I've ever heard. She harmonizes like it's like breathing for her. You know what I'm trying to say. It comes so easy to her.
That's
She
awesome.
has a great ear. She works so hard. She's only 18, And she has like so much going on in her life. She's such a busy person, but she always dedicates her time to like my vision and everything, and it always turns out so great. And just one of the sweetest people ever. And oh my gosh, she doesn't play guitar in my band, but classical guitar, like she plays. She's an amazing classical guitar player,
That's awesome.
and bass player. Like, yeah, I love all of them so much. Like, I've had so many songs where I've written them thinking that like no one was ever gonna hear them, that they like weren't that good. And then I've been like, yeah, let's just show this to everyone in the band. And then they listen to it and then they're like, wait, no, let's do this. And like literally they've turned so many songs that I thought were duds into like beautiful, like amazing, like anything I like everything I could have dreamed of songs. And then they've really made me see like the value in like the bones of the song. Like
Yeah.
I feel like what I specialize, I don't really call myself like an instrumentalist. I'm not an instrumentalist. I wouldn't even go as far as saying I'm a musician unless like we're talking about singing. Like I feel very, very strongly that like I have a very professional sounding singing voice, but I feel like an amateur playing anything else. But really, I also like writing is my specialty. So I call myself like a lyricist and a singer and not an instrumentalist, but I feel like they turn my songs into stuff that I could never do. And oh my gosh, words. I've felt more strongly about the stuff that I have because of them. So Riley Burke would not be Riley Burke without Richie and Quincy and Lizzie and John
Yeah,
and
it
Lauren
sounds like they
also.
kind of bring out the best of, whatever you're writing. They go, "Hey, let's take it to this next level thing." That's awesome to hear. So, did they have any part in the recording for MTV or no?
No, they did not. And I have been we're really thinking about starting another like original project with all of us in the band and with Lauren from the cover band who used to be in my original band. And like doing some kind of thing where we all kind of write stuff together, because I've never really tried that. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
But them the part of the song where there's like screaming on the track, that's all them.
That's
Because that's
cool.
always a special moment when we play it live. So I wanted to include that. I also set up the date to go into the studio like before I knew them. So yeah,
Okay, yeah,
but
gotcha.
I would love to try recording stuff with them and see how it goes. I'm kind of up in the air as to what direction I want to go next. I'm going to try a bunch of different things, I think. But Quincy, like, because he records his own stuff, he has like all the equipment. So it's just a matter of when I say like, hey guys, let's do it.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so cool. Yeah, so okay, with the Riley Burke project, you guys have a lot of stuff on YouTube, a lot of originals. Don't
Oh
Look
yeah.
Back is great.
Oh,
I
thank
love that song.
you. I'm thinking about that being the next single.
No way, actually.
Like
You should.
I really am.
It's really good. It's
Oh, thank
catchy
you so
again.
much.
Like
It's oh man. I'm very proud of that song. That song came out of a time like after I felt like all I could write was sad music and I finally wrote something happy.
Yeah,
I
okay.
wrote that literally it was like right around me moving into college and I was like, this is a new adventure for me, new chapter of my life. I'm excited for it. I'm happy. And then it's also kind of inspired by like you know how the only thing to do in Ohio is get in the car and drive around and listen to music.
Yeah,
So
definitely. That and look at corn, right? While you're driving.
yeah, exactly. So like that's I see on TikTok like all the time, like, you know, what do you do in Ohio? There's nothing to do except drive around and listen to music. Like there's nothing fun to do, especially, I mean, there is fun things to do, but you know, like when it's late at night, it's like 11 o'clock and everything is closed, but you can't sleep and it's the summer and you just want to hang out with your friends and like drive around and like listen to Lady Gaga, you know?
Yeah, and you've already been to Waffle House like every other day, so you're
exactly
like a regular. Like
it's Waffle House and driving and Taco Bell drive through, and then when you're sitting in the Taco Bell drive through, you still listen to the song.
Right.
So yeah, I'm really proud of the imagery on that song, and I wrote it in like 15 minutes.
Oh wow.
And I was like, wow, this is actually like not bad. And I think it's very sweet too. So that definitely one of my favorites. I already have
song.
Like, thank you. I have like an image of the album art already. I want it to be like me, like in a convertible. I don't know where I'm going to get a convertible from, but like me in a convertible, like looking over my shoulder with the wind in my hair, like laughing or something like that.
I love it. I love the vision.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. What kind of stuff are you listening to now when you get in the car?
Oh man. Oh my gosh. Lizzie McAlpine.
Okay.
She is a singer songwriter. I think she's like 22. And a lot of what she has written just like really resonates with me. As I'm sure it does for many, many girls my age. She's just a great lyricist. Beautiful voice, very creative. Like, definitely check out Doomsday. That's her first track on her new album. Well, I don't know how new it is. I think it came out like in the summer. I'm not exactly sure. It's called 5 Seconds Flat. That's the album. The song, oh my God, I'm everywhere. Doomsday. She like talks about like getting broken up with, like as a comparison to like dying and like the end of the world and like her funeral and like it's so good. And she has a lot of like lighthearted songs as well that are kind of more philosophical, but you don't even really realize. Like, she has a song, it's called Pancakes for Dinner, and you're like, oh, this sounds like a cute song, and it sounds very pleasant and cute, but like the whole thing she's saying the whole time is like, I'm in a plane right now, and if we crash and die and I could never talk to you again, this is what I'd want to leave you with. And she says, like, I want to eat pancakes for dinner with you, and I want to do all this, these creative, cute, fun dates with you, and I hope that you like me back, but if you don't, I had to tell you this before I die. Like, it's just very
damn, that's deep.
Yeah. I listened to it in the car with my dad and he cried. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, I'm sorry for making you cry, Dad. But it's, yeah, she's really just really amazing. I'm very impressed by her. And yeah, that's what I've been listening to on,
that's awesome.
It's 5 Seconds Flat by Lizzie McAlpine. Yeah.
I would definitely link that so people can go check it out as well. All right, so a couple more questions and then I'll let you go here. Any advice for future musicians coming into the scene or kind of getting started in music?
Just like, if you're afraid of it, it's probably a good thing. I was afraid of starting to songwrite. I was afraid of booking a show because I was like, what if it's not perfect? What if the song isn't good? I was afraid of meeting new people to collaborate with because what if we don't work well together? What if they think that my ideas aren't good? You know, there's all these what if questions in my mind all the time. I overthink like everything, but just go for it. Push yourself. Do it, because that's how the best things happen. Like, I am so glad that I took the chances that I took with the people that I met and like just did the shows and like, you know, said, fuck it, it doesn't matter. Like, just go for it. And if it's bad, at least you tried, you know? And also the other thing I would say is like, find what makes you unique, because there's so many people who sound the same. Like, try everything and see what you feel like is the truest version of you, you know?
Yeah. No, I love it. I totally get it. And I think you're totally right, you know, because, you know, you have to throw a lot of darts at a board to kind of, and I feel like in this line of, I don't know, work, but, you know, being a musician, you kind of have to throw a lot of darts at a board and sometimes you miss, know? But you learn a ton doing it. It's not something you can get, I think, from any, you know, education. Yeah. You just kind of have to go out and do it, like you're saying, you know?
Yeah. And it's like going to take you out of your comfort zone, and that's fine. And I'm still very much new to this. I've only been like gigging with originals like for a year, and I'm really grateful for every good and bad experience that I have, because you always learn something from that. And just because it seems like something that's going to be scary doesn't mean that it's going to have a bad outcome. So yeah, my thing is like, take a chance and believe in yourself, as cliche as it is, and just like do the dang thing. And yeah, I guess that's what I have to say.
I love it. I dig it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yeah. I'll open up the floor to you. Anything you want to talk about or anything you want to plug at the end here?
Oh, okay. Listen to MTV on all streaming platforms. I have two more shows that I know of, at least until the end of the year. I'm playing at the Wick Yards on Veterans Day, Friday, the 11th of November. And I am playing at the Outpost in Kent the following Thursday, November 17th, with a bunch of amazing bands at both shows. Wonderful lineup. Yeah.
Awesome. So come see. Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I hope you had a good time.
Of course. I did. Oh my gosh. I hope you weren't like totally thrown off by how many different directions I went
no,
in.
I love it. I love hearing all the stories and the little tangents. You get a little more out of it that way for sure.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good.
Yeah. Well, thank you all to the listeners out there. I hope you guys really enjoyed it as well. If you like what you heard, please like, follow, and subscribe to whatever you guys are listening on. And please check out the website, because all the stuff we talked about, I will link as much as I possibly can on there. Go follow, you know, the Riley Burke Project, her cover band, everything will be on there. Please go follow it. She's awesome and she deserves it. So please, please go follow it.
Yeah,
for sure. We also have a merch page on the website. So if you want a hoodie, a shirt, really help support what I do here. And that's it. We'll see you next time.